Well, now I'm joined in the studio today by Rob Sags, who's the Chief Executive Officer of CHESS, which is the local charity set up to relieve the issues resulting from homelessness. So welcome to Phoenix FM, Rob.
Thank you. Thank
you. Welcome back, because what's more, he's back here again on Friday as well. You can have your own show.
Well, you never know. You never know. No, it's great to be here again. Thank you.
Now, here we are in 2019, and yet there are still people without a roof over their heads. That's disgusting, isn't it, Rob? How on earth can this be?
Yeah, no, it's awful that we live in these times where we see so many people who are homeless and on the streets. But I think when we look at the housing, there isn't enough houses. There's a lot of people with, you know, related issues that maybe cause them to become homeless. Then there's relationship breakdown. There's a million and one causes. You know, the story's never ending. And sadly, those guys that end up on the streets are those that are at the last ebb. You know, of, and we need more help. We need more resources to deliver services to those guys.
Well, first off, tell us just who or what is CHESS, how long you've been in existence, and what you actually do in practice.
Okay, so we've been going for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. CHESS stands for the Church's Homeless Emergency Support Scheme, birthed by the churches in the early 90s. But we work with all groups or faith groups, anybody and everybody. We actually have 32 bed spaces shed over 6 properties, and we have an outreach service. We also have an employment arm and a training arm at the far end. But our mission statement effectively is to provide support services and temporary accommodation that empowers people to move on with their lives. So that's what we deliver.
So how do you actually go about dealing with all these issues? It sounds almost impossible.
Yeah.
When you look at it.
Yeah, and it's not an easy task. Mm. Because people who have become homeless are struggling with, you know, it can be a multitude of issues. And I think if you are rough sleeping, or you've been rough sleeping, the big factor is you've been rejected by everybody in your circle of relationships. Absolutely. The thing that is compounded in your world is the subconscious message is you're not worth anything. And that's a horrible thing for anybody
that's
to
terrible.
Have to deal with. You know, and you think, you know, rejection after rejection after rejection, that's compounded within where you're at in life. So you kind of lose that self-pride, that dignity. So our whole mission, our mandate is to provide that basic form of accommodation. You know, our new night shelter, which we've had open now since, a year and a half, really reflects our beliefs on the individual. So it's done up really nice, and everybody who's come around has said what a beautiful site it is. And we want that to reflect upon the people that come in. And then there's a journey for them to go through. So our support workers, our counsellors, we're a pathway provider to other providers as well, who've got more specialist streams of work, you know, so people who are working maybe with drug related issues, mm-hmm. or drink related issues and stuff like that, but then working with very closely with the councils as well. So yeah, we work with everybody who's trying to get the relief to the homeless individual, so that we can get them back into a more settled way of life.
So what would you say to people who might say that the people you're trying to help are their own worst enemies?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy thing to look maybe and, you know, stereotype somebody who is homeless. Mm-hmm. But actually, the phrase that I always use is there's a reason behind the reason. So look at a person and think, why would they put themselves into that situation? Nobody would voluntarily put themselves into the position they're in. Even if they've got, you know, chaotic lifestyles with chaotic choices and maybe drink and drug related issues, why do they feel that drink and drugs are the things that are going to protect them or give them a way of life? Well, they don't, do they? Because we do loads of work with schools, and when we're in schools, nobody's ever put their hand up to the question, who wants to be homeless when they grow up? You know, nobody's ever put their hand up to that question. So the reason behind the reason, a million and one different reasons. Uh-huh. You know, relationship breakdown, job loss, trauma, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a few moments. Mm-hmm. You know, a number of things can be the result of somebody breaking down and not communicating what they're going through, and then effectively slowly using up relationships and friendships that they could maybe sow for self before they end up on the streets. So when you see somebody who's rough sleeping, there is a bigger reason behind what you're actually seeing, and that person needs a lot of help.
I saw somebody the other day on TV, and he had been homeless for a very long time, and I think he was saying, you know, I don't know that I really want to wake up tomorrow morning, which is horrendous.
That's horrible, isn't it? That's
horrendous.
Awful.
And he couldn't even go into any of the shelters because apparently he suffered from incontinence. I mean, it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah, it is. And these are the things where we do need more provisions in society for people who maybe do suffer with incontinence, or people that have got such challenging behaviours that putting them into an HMO, a house of multiple occupancy, isn't going to work. I know Homeless Link, they've got some great concepts and ideas, and this has been done in various different places where the housing first model's there, where somebody's in a flat. But that's obviously quite costly, and you've got to have those available facilities. It's something we're looking at, but obviously the funds need to go along with that.
Of course. Well, perhaps we can best illustrate your points by looking at just one case that you've become involved. Now, we had hoped today to be talking with an ex-soldier, but as he's working today, perhaps you could talk us through his case. So who are we talking about?
So we're talking about a gentleman called Knapp, an incredible guy who, in his upbringing, he struggled, had a bit of a broken upbringing, and always wanted to be better, always wanted to kind of better himself, got mixed up with the wrong crowd, and then you know, put himself into the forces, you know, and obviously here we are, the 11th, you know, put himself into the forces, and when, you know, and that was one of his rationales for doing that, was actually to get some discipline and to get some boundaries in my life, because if the army is regimented, it'll regiment me. And he served time, he did a good period of time, 4 or 5 years, but then came out.
Well, we're talking about him serving time in the army,
because we're going to go on to the other bit, aren't we?
Yes, sure.
He served his time in the army,
four or five years.
I believe he did some tours and stuff as well, so you know, saw some action, but came out with post-traumatic stress, PTSD, and didn't recognise that to begin with. So when he came out, and I think it's fair to say that there's been a few folks who I've spoken to that have been in the forces, and the discharge is quite quick, where actually, a personal opinion, more work should go into discharging folks who have served in the forces.
Right.
Anyway, he came out and went back to an area where he came from originally, which probably wasn't the best move, and then got some jobs, but nothing really landed well, and then got mixed up into a bit of drink, a bit of drugs, and sadly, this spiral of life just went down in a significant way. So much so that I believe it was something in the region of 40 offences and 30 sentences he served.
Crikey.
All for petty crimes.
Yes.
So when we talk about serving time, yes, he served time, and they're all for petty crimes, but to fund that habit that he had. We're fortunate enough to go into the Chelmsford prison or other prisons to do mock interviews, and I particularly remember meeting Knapp very well, actually. So me and my operations manager went in to meet with him and several others to do kind of a mock interview, and he shared his story, but he opened it up with, I used to be in the forces, my operations manager used to be in the forces, so all this banter starts coming forward.
Right.
And this is where Chess kicks in, and where Wingspan Works, which is our other social enterprise that we work very closely with, they kick into play for being able to help people who have maybe been in the forces or the judicial system and are homeless. So with this case particularly, we converse with Knapp, and he sort of said, the thing I need is this job. The job is what I need to get me out of this cycle. So one of the questions my operations manager asked him was, well, so where would you go and live? Well, I'll go back to where I came from. And my ops guy is very upfront. He said, well, that's your first mess. You'll mess up straight away if you go back to where you came from. Simply because you're going to mix with those old relationships, those old haunts. So then in that position, I was able to offer him effectively a relocation package with Chess and the job with Wingspan. And I said, is that the thing that you're going to need to change your world, to break that cycle? That's what I need, he said. That's definitely what I need. And I said, but don't make the decision here and now, simply because, you know, if you do this well, then you could open a door for a load of people. But if you stuff it up, you could wreck it for a load of people too. So I said, wear that before you answer it. And he did give it some serious thought and came back to me and said, yeah, it's definitely what I need. So we sent in our secure tenancies officer, we sent in another member of our team, and we were able to meet him on his release date at the prison gates, took him to his new accommodation on the Friday, this was, gave him the weekend to kind of settle things down. And then on the Monday, he rocked up for work. So he rocked up for work. That was a great sign because we always give him a few days to mess up.
Yes.
Rocked up for work and was an amazing employee. Put himself through rehab, put himself through the 12 Steps program, has all his keys, is now a sponsor to other individuals that are going through the rehabilitation program for the 12 Steps. He's a qualified electrician. He's a qualified chainsaw operative, a qualified, he's qualified with removing asbestos and various other courses we've put him through. He worked for Chess and Wingspan for about three and a bit years and is a model candidate of what somebody can do when they make those positive steps to come in out, because he would have ended up homeless again.
Yeah,
he
sure.
was homeless, you know, he was homeless in those things before he was going back into side again. He was homeless again. So it was always, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? Go inside, come out, get into some bad behaviours again. And but now he's working for a company outside of Wingspan, fully employed and doing absolutely brilliantly. We have our sleep out a week on Friday.
Yes.
And he'll be coming and speaking at the sleep out.
And where is the sleep out?
So the sleep out is going to be held in the grounds of the cathedral. It's all on our website.
Chelmsford
Cathedral, yeah. Yes. Yeah. On our website, www.chesshomeless.org.
Right. Okay.
So a little bit of a drop there, sorry. So that's Friday night. People get the opportunity to sleep through the night to experience what it's like to be a rough sleeper for one night in safe, secure environment. And I think the thing is that we often have a lot of fun. Do you know, it's good fun. Everybody enjoys it. But it's when they go home that the difference is made. Because everybody goes home, they get into their warm bed, they get out of their moist clothes because they've sweated and perspired in those, you know, survival bags. Then it dawns on them, I'm going to have a warm bath.
Yes.
Rough sleepers don't get a warm bath. I'm going to get into a warm bed. Rough sleepers don't get a warm bed. I've got out of my sleeping bag that now needs to get dried. How do they dry their sleeping bags when they've been in them for one night? So it really, the after effects are quite high.
Just want to ask you something. You just said that you're doing these mock interviews. I rather had the impression that you actually dealt with a number of companies who actually did real interviews.
Is that right? Yeah. So we are one of the companies that employ, but we go in and we don't have enough jobs for all the people.
No, of course not.
Going to interview. So we are one of the employment agencies, but through Wingspan, and likewise we're able to signpost to other ones as well. So there are other organisations and individuals that are going to employ, but sometimes they'll take them through us, so that, you know, we're the bit of the pathway provider.
Now, I imagine that demand for your services is going to be pretty high, particularly over the Christmas period. So you need to call on a lot of help from outside. So would you like to briefly outline how people can help you?
Sure. So some of the stuff that people can help with, we have a number of volunteering opportunities. We offer another service over the winter months. It should be beginning in December, where we look for volunteers to support us. And that service is it's the way Chess began. So it's a church hall, and we get another 10 to 14 residents that can be safe, secure, somewhere to sleep, hot food and stuff like that. So we're looking for volunteers for that. We always need sleepover volunteers at our main shelter 365 days a year. So we're looking for some individuals that are prepared to come interface with our client base a little bit and then just be with the staff member. They get their own separate room. I might make that very clear. But basically, so there's no lone workings, and most of the time we have a volunteer every single night, volunteer cooks, but like there's loads of ways people can volunteer. We get inundated with donations this time of year, and sorting through those donations is a big deal. So there's things like that people can help with,
because you need about 200 grand a year, do you know, to raise
Our fundraising target is around a quarter of a million. Our costs for running the service are just over half a million now, so it's not a cheap thing at all.
Not exactly.
No.
Okay, well, perhaps one of the other things that people ought to be taking a look at is your website.
Yes.
So would you like to promote that as
Absolutely. So it's got all our information on it, www.chesshomeless.org.
Right, okay. Well, thanks ever so much for coming in to see us again, Rob. And good luck as you're coming in on Friday again.
Thanks
very
much.
To see Patrick sharing.
Thanks,
and
Scott.
Is that also the day that you've got your sleepover as well?
No, it's the following week.
Right, good stuff. Well, thanks very much indeed for that.